Well, welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Cogan. I was lucky enough to be an audience member in the first British invasion when a band called the Beatles came to Chicago to play at Comiskey Park. There is another British invasion taking place of a sort of vastly different and actually funnier sort Wednesday at the Chicago Theater when the folks from My Dad Wrote a Porno arrive at the theater. This is their, they've been traveling around the country for a little while. Jamie Morton is a British television director who will not be doing that job much longer, I think, because this is such a sensation. Welcome to the show, Jamie. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, like many great ideas, the podcast and now live show of My Dad Wrote a Porno was born in a tavern, which you call, of course, a pub. That's true, isn't it?
That's absolutely true. I think all great ideas start in the pub.
So do I.
John Keats onwards.
So do I. Yes, so do I. You and your dad had written I'm not going to call it pornographic because it's so weirdly sort of sexual. Your dad wrote something that he sent to you and said, "Hey, son, I hope you're proud of your dad. Read this." You took it to a pub and read it to a couple of your friends, and it was hard, Jamie, to be proud of what your dad had written. As difficult as that may be to say.
That is exactly right. I mean, pride isn't something that I felt for him for quite a while, to be honest with you. He kind of wrote this. I mean, we can't even really call it a book. I mean, it's a collection of words on a page. He'd heard about the success of 50 Shades of Grey and how much money, essentially, E.L. James had made from that.
Sure.
And thought, do you know what? I could do that as well. Turns out he can't. But he had a bash anyway. And so he wrote this kind of erotic novella all about Belinda Blumenthal, who is an international sales director at Steel's Pots and Pans, which is a crockery company, which is the sexiest of industries, I think you'll agree.
Well, and also her name, Blumenthal, does not really jump off the page and rip my shirt off. Do you know what I mean?
No. Not lustful, is it, that name? It's a little bit kind of like matronly, if anything. Obviously, I was appalled and disgusted, but immediately knew that I had to share it with my friends. So went down the pub, as you do, and just started to read it, basically, to James and Alice, my two mates. And they were just continually chipping in and critiquing it and having their commentary. And the podcast kind of was born right there in the pub. We actually cleared the pub out. We were shouting breasts and vagina so much that everyone around us left.
Wow,
that's okay, and
that's such normal pub talk anyway. I'm surprised people left.
Yeah, it
must have been really bad. Your collaborators in this are James Cooper, who's another TV executive, and a BBC radio lass named Alice Levine. And you three have been friends for a long time, and even collaborators too. Yes.
Absolutely, yes. So we all met at college. We went to the University of Leeds together. And because we're such geeks, we all joined the student TV station. Mm-hmm. And we just made loads of kind of crappy TV when we were, 18, 19 years old. And we kind of just continued making stuff together. We enjoyed working together. We were kind of fellow creatives. And so we all moved down to London to start our real careers. We just carried on making stuff together in our spare time at the weekends and things. And yeah, this podcast was just the latest in a litany of unsuccessful creative endeavors.
So, like I said, well, this one is not unsuccessful, Jamie Morton.
This one actually has worked.
Well, so you're sitting around the pub, Jamie Morton and his two friends, James Cooper and Alice Levine, and you're having a great time reading the sort of misshapen prose that your dad has offered you as his sample of his erotic kind of sensibility. When does it, after the hangover passes the next day, does one of you say, wait a minute, maybe we could do something like this? Maybe there is a podcast in this. Is that actually how it happened that fast? You had so much fun.
Yeah. It is. And I have to credit Alice with that one. not sure she'd want that title as the person who came up with Let's Share This With The World. But she did, she became, like, worryingly obsessed with my dad's book to the point where she would just read it to people in the street. And she loved it so much. She was really cajoling me to be like, we have to do something with it, we have to. And I was like, I don't know, it's my dad's erotic ramblings. Do I want to go there? But, you know, eventually she was like, come on, this is too funny not to share. And actually, it's kind of the best thing to do, to just get it out in the open and not kind of suppress it. Cause
sure.
That could be even worse for me, you know?
Let me ask you, Jamie, do your colleagues know your dad? Or did they
yes.
hang around your house?
Yeah.
So what... did the three of you ask permission of your father, saying, hey, Dad, we are very interested in what you've been writing and this is what we want to do with it? How would you approach him about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I felt that because he'd given me the books in the first place,
mm-hmm.
he was
yeah.
obviously open for me to discuss it. So, yeah, I sat him down one day and I said, look, Dad, we're thinking of maybe doing a podcast about your books. And he was like, that's absolutely fantastic. Yes. What's a podcast? And I was like, oh, God. Okay. So explain what a podcast was, what we wanted to do with it. And he's just been brilliant. He's the biggest fan of My Dad Wrote Porno, which, you know.
Well, I am now.
Given that it's his work.
This week, I have become a huge fan, too, because... if nothing else, the exuberance that the three of you share, the laughter on the show is absolutely, absolutely infectious. And it is not just It's not just a straight reading of the prose, which you once characterized somewhere as he makes E.L. James sound like Jane Austen. Makes E.L.
Yeah.
James sound like Jane Austen. But it's also the three of you, your personalities and your proclivities also enter into it in, I think, a very, very compelling way. I mean, that obviously, I'm not telling you something you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what is so amazing about the medium of podcasting, to be
yeah.
honest, because it's such an intimate medium.
No question.
And it's such an emerging, way to tell a story as well. You know, it's really having a moment at the minute. I think people are really gravitating to it because of that intimacy, and you really get to feel like you know the host, and you get to get a real insight into them and their lives, not just the story that they're telling. And that was really important for us with this one particularly, because, you know, you want to make people feel like they're included in the story. It would have been quite easy to kind of make people feel a little bit at a distance, whereas
sure.
we always felt that we wanted to make people feel like they were the fourth friend around the kitchen table with us, discovering this book in real time with us, so that there is no kind of like distance between us and our audience. And I think that's what has been part of the success of the show, I think.
As interesting and lively as the show is, when one begins doing a podcast, it is often like, and I'm a huge fan of podcasts, and they have a International Podcasting Festival here in Chicago, that you might indeed, during the first months or even weeks of the podcast, think that you are, you know, speaking in an empty cave. Do you know what I mean? There is not that immediate...
100%.
Yeah, there
yeah.
is not... But you guys have so much fun that it wouldn't matter if anybody was listening or not. But
this is it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it is... It's not at all self-indulgent. I just think it is... It is euphoric. But you did get Elijah Wood. I mean, it always takes, you know, somebody on social media to, you know, the Queen Elizabeth. I don't know
yeah.
if she does tweet, but it takes someone with a lot of followers to sort of hook in. And it was Elijah Wood, the star Elijah Wood, who recommended this. And that's when it really started to take off, did it not?
That's right. That's when it kind of went to the next level, because you're right when you say that when you start out, you don't ever really think of an audience in terms of people are going to be actually listening to this.
Exactly.
It's just you and your friends, and you're just so busy trying to make each other laugh that you don't really think about an audience laughing. So then, yeah, when Elijah just tweeted about it out of the blue, and I think we were on episode 3 at the time.
Yeah.
That just was a real game changer, because not only was it like, oh my God, Elijah Wood is listening. That's so cool, because we love him.
Sure.
It was also like, oh, It's no longer just this British show. It's now traveling internationally.
Yes, it's like there are hundreds of thousands of people now following us. You have. There have been 100 million downloads, which is a stunning and also, to me, a kind of intimidating number, because now you're sitting there in the studio, and when you had this kind of unbelievable freedom before you, now you're thinking, I don't know if you're thinking Jamie Morton or you or James Cooper or Alice Levine are thinking, oh my God, we have like hundreds of thousands of listeners. We better be really good. Has that notion increased the pressure when you do it? And do you, I have to ask you too, do you rehearse at all before doing the podcast?
I mean, oddly, it hasn't affected us, and maybe it should. Maybe we're just a little bit odd that we just don't really think about it to this day. I think it's such a personal story for me. I am reading my dad's pornography to my two best friends. That's so...
And hundreds of thousands of others, yeah.
Yeah. To think of, millions of people listening is a little bit intimidating, so we just kind of don't do that. Mm-hmm. And as for rehearsing beforehand, absolutely not. I mean,
that's right.
I read the chapter the day of the record just to familiarize myself with mainly my dad's poor grammar, to be honest with you, and how I'm going to actually read this stuff aloud. But James and Alice hear the chapter live on mic, and I think that's what brings so much of the spontaneity.
The spontaneity.
And the energy to the show.
The spontaneity is absolutely undeniable. Your dad, we should give credit to him, writes under the pseudonym Rocky Flintstone. Flintstone, of course, I know Rocky could come from anywhere, but it comes wonderfully from the father from the Rock on the Rockford Files show, correct?
Yeah, I know, which is so bizarre. And I've never even heard of that show. But Dad's a big fan.
Yeah,
so clearly he was inspired, early doors with that one, yeah.
That's fabulous. So at some point, the buzz on this show is sufficient enough for either someone to approach the three of you and say, hey, let's take this show on the road. Then, which you did in Great Britain and I think Australia. Didn't you go to Australia?
Yeah, we did a tour in Australia. That was amazing, yeah.
Did you guys come up? Did you guys say, hey, we're having so much fun, but let's get out of the studio? Was it that simple? Or did someone come to you and say, hey, now, I think we could make this a road show. You could be the new Beatles.
Well, no one said that. It was kind of a mixture of both, actually, because we did want to do something with it, because there are so many things with this show that you can't do just through audio, because it is quite visual. And my dad describes sexual things that you just can't get your head around in audio alone.
Well, you can't actually...
Well, I'm thinking about doing something... Well, you can't do it at all, actually.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So
what about
it won't help you.
You're in the middle of this of a U.S. tour. How's it been so far? What did you expect from audiences? And I know that the live show incorporates video. It incorporates, sort of that classic audience participation where you get audience members up on stage to shall I say, simulate some of the awkward sexuality of the show. How's it been?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, fans of the show are drawn to the show, but what I would love to see in an audience, which I may see Wednesday when you perform at the Chicago Theater at 8 o'clock, just go to Chicago Theater and buy tickets online or in person, that the people who have no idea what my dad wrote a porn must be, for the three of you, the most fascinating members of the audience, yeah?
Absolutely. And, and we are always surprised as to how many people come without having any prior knowledge to the show. Because we have, our diehard fans who come characters and are amazing. But there are a real contingent of people, who've never heard the show before. And actually, they tend to enjoy it even more because they get the absurdity really quickly. And it's just this trip because they don't really know what to expect. They don't know where it's going. And because my dad's writing style is so erratic, you don't need to have known anything about the book prior to coming to the show, because it's all standalone in its own way, because these books, they make no sense.
I know.
So actually, you don't need to have known anything about the show. Always wanted it to feel like it was more of a comedy show than a podcast show. show. You know,
right? There's a huge difference. No, I think that's a wise thing to do too, because there, you know, a live podcast show is in many cases nothing more than a person sitting talking into a microphone, which is not the most exciting thing. If you go to @DadWroteAPorno, you can also there, Jamie, buy the book, can't you? If anybody is brave enough to do something like that, yeah.
it's really good to see it, you know, in print. It really, you get so much more from it because you see all of the weird grammatical errors and the spelling errors, and it really kind of brings it afresh than you kind of way that it's so awful. But yeah,
well,
I had a lot of fun doing that one.
I think you're really onto something, and I think as a live show, this thing has almost unlimited potential, almost the potential to get you and your pal and colleague and collaborator, James Cooper, out of the TV business for good, and the third member of this crowd, Alice Levine, out of the radio business. But a podcast is a podcast. The podcast is called My Dad Wrote a Porno. It will be performed live, and what I have read about the live show, you can listen to it before you go buy tickets if you're of that mind. The live show sounds, to my mind, really kicking it up like, you know, that was the week that was in sex and with a your dad young enough to keep writing, giving you material.
Oh, I can't stop him from writing.
I'll bet he is so empowered. It's ridiculous.
He's a man possessed. He is.
Jamie Morton, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Well, I know you've been to the States before, but this is you're part of a new cool British invasion, and I hope you sell out the Chicago Theater. I will do my part.
Thank you so
much. My pleasure. It's great talking to you. I'll be in touch. Take care.
I'll see you at the show.
You bet. Don't call me out of the audience. So I'm not coming up. I know too much about these books to come up there. Jamie, give congratulations to your colleagues too.
It's a great idea.
My pleasure. Thank you.